Magyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Tonight we're talking about the power of prayer that's too loud. And of the 9 items of devotional service, Vandanam, or offering prayers, is 1. And in the prayers that Prahlad Maharaj offers to Lord Nrisimhadev, he says something about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Nrisimhadev, in the following prayer. Naisha paravara matir bhavato nanu syaj jantoryatatma surido jagatas tatapi sangsevaya suratarori vate prasada sevanurupam udayo na paravaratvam. Unlike an ordinary living entity, my Lord, you do not discriminate between friends and enemies, the favorable and unfavorable. Unlike an ordinary living entity, my Lord, you do not discriminate between friends and enemies, the favorable and the unfavorable, because for you there is no conception of higher and lower. Nonetheless, you offer your benediction according to the level of one's service, exactly as a desire tree delivers fruits according to one's desires and makes no distinctions between the lower and the higher. Shall I read it again?
Yes.
Unlike an ordinary living entity, unlike who? My Lord, you do not discriminate between friends and enemies, the favorable and the unfavorable, because for you there is no conception of higher and lower. Nonetheless, you offer your benedictions according to the level of one's service, exactly as a desire tree delivers fruits according to one's desires and makes no distinction between the lower and the higher. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 4.11, the Lord clearly says, Ye yata amam prapadyante tams tatayeva bhajamyaham. As one surrenders unto me, I reward him accordingly. Can you turn that on? As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivera swarupoi krishnera nityadas. What does that mean? Jivera, the living entity, right? The jiv, swarup. Hoy. Krishnera nityadas. He's an eternal servant. He's an eternal servant of Krishna. Good to know, right? Because most people don't know who they are. A little more down. Every living being is the eternal servant of Krishna. According to the service the living entity renders, he automatically receives benedictions from Krishna, who does not make distinctions, thinking, here is a person in an intimate relationship with me, and here is a person I dislike. Krishna advises everyone to surrender to him. Sarvadharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. One's relationship with the Supreme Lord is in proportion to that surrender and the service one renders to the Lord. Thus, throughout the entire world, the higher and lower positions of the living entities are selected by the living entities themselves. Can you give another verse from the Bhagavad Gita that suggests this? That we select our own positions in the material world or spiritual world. So, Gandharvika, where are the microphones? Please bring them. Gandharvika and Himanshu. This is profound because I think we've made a breakthrough here. This is a breakthrough. Our lives may never be the same after we hear the answer to this. There is a way in which we choose our own position in the material or spiritual world. Couldn't this change everything? What verse number? Where?
8.5. And okay. Page number 99, Bhagavad Gita, Shloka book.
Okay.
Santakale chamameva smaran mukva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nasti atra samshayah. And whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Means whatever we think, that's what we become.
Okay, that's in the neighborhood. Anything more direct?
So this is 9.25 from Bhagavad Gita. Yanti deva vrata devan, pitran yanti pitra vrata, bhutani yanti bhutejya, yanti mat yajino api mam. So those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. And those who worship me will live with me.
Okay. He's saying go where you like. It's up to you. However you direct your worship. Part of worship is prayer. Where we're directing our prayers, that's where we're going to go. Yes.
This is 8.6 and it says, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajya tyante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sadatat bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail.
Meaning that you have a way of controlling what you think about also, right? Because the rest of the Bhagavad Gita also, in other parts of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about how we should direct our consciousness in a certain way and cultivate consciousness. So I'll read the sentence again. Thus throughout the entire world, the living entity, thus throughout the entire world, the higher or lower positions of the living entities are selected by the living entities themselves. There you have it, in black and white. If one is inclined to dictate that the Lord grant something, one receives benedictions according to his desires. If one wants to be elevated to the higher planetary systems, the heavenly planets, he can be promoted to the place he desires. And if one wants to remain a hog or a pig on earth, the Lord fulfills that desire also. Therefore, one's position is determined by one's desires. The Lord is not responsible for the higher or lower grades of our existence. This is further explained quite definitely in Bhagavad Gita 9.25 by the Lord himself. Yanti deva vrata devan pitrin yanti pratir vrata bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti mad yajino pimam. Some people want to be promoted to the heavenly planets. Some want to be promoted to Pitraloka and some want to remain on earth. But if one is interested in returning home back to Godhead, he can be promoted there also. According to the demands of a particular devotee, he receives a result by the grace of the Lord. The Lord does not discriminate, thinking, here is a person favorable to me, and here is a person who is not favorable. Rather, he fulfills the desires of everyone. Therefore, the Shastras enjoin, akama sarva kamo va, mokshakama udarati, tivrena bhakti yogina yajeta purusham param. Whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotees, or is desirous of fruitive results, or is after liberation, one should, with all efforts, try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. That's from the Bhagavatam 2.3.10. According to one's position, whether as a devotee, a karmi, or a jnani, whatever one wants, one can get if one fully engages in the service of the Lord. Comments? Hare Krishna, welcome back. Anything?
It's very powerful to know that, like, how desires are so potent. Like, I remember the pastimes of Prabhupada, that one devotee ran to him when Prabhupada was about to leave, and then he asked, like, what is the one thing, Prabhupada, that we need to progress in Krishna consciousness? And Prabhupada said, it's the desire. So I'm just thinking how the desires are so potent, and they are very much affected by our about the status of our subtle body. They really show our where we stand in our consciousness and evolution.
Thank you very much. Anyone else?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Hare Krishna, can I ask a question?
Yes.
This is Hare. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare.
Hi, Hare Krishna. My question is that your desire is fulfilled according to your surrender to Krishna. What if your desire is to surrender to Krishna and you don't have to surrender yet? How are you going to get that desire fulfilled?
And Nilesh, I couldn't even, I could barely understand what she's saying. Bring back the boast. Hale, can you say that one more time? We're experimenting with our sound system since we just moved in, and today we're on a downward spiral when it comes to speakers. So I couldn't quite understand you.
Hare Krishna, you moved to the temple?
Yeah, we're in it now.
Wow, congratulations. Very cool.
Hare Hare Bo.
Nice. Should I ask my question now?
Yeah.
Okay. As you were saying that the desire is fulfilled according to the level of your surrender to Krishna, what if your desire is to get surrendered or to be surrendered to Krishna and you don't have that surrender yet? How do you get that desire fulfilled?
Well, whatever we... So if your question, if I understood you correctly, your question is... First, the premise was that Krishna awards our desires according to our surrender, and what if your desire is to surrender to Krishna? And how does that come about? How does he fulfill your desire to surrender to him? Is that correct?
Yes.
Well, Krishna will definitely fulfill your desire to surrender to him. And there's a way in which, after being implicated in the material world for some time, the process of sharanagati or surrender may seem like an up and down process, just like if you're going to the topmost peak in the Himalayas. As you go through the foothills on the way there, it may seem like you're going up and down, but you're heading for the final destination. So the process of surrendering to Krishna and praying for surrender to Krishna is the essence of devotional service. Krishna says at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, just surrender to me and I'll protect you. Don't worry, don't fear, don't hesitate. So it's the most natural thing to do, to actually surrender to Krishna. And when someone does that, then Krishna begins to guide that person from within the heart. And also, a sincere soul who's surrendering to Krishna will get help from a guru also. Brahmanda Brahmate Kun Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Pakti Lata Beach. Krishna says that when somebody is wandering in the material world and fortunately gets this desire to surrender, then Krishna gives him guru and the guru gives him Krishna. So it's a very fortunate desire to have, to surrender to Krishna, and if one prays for that and cultivates that desire, then one's spiritual life opens quite naturally by the grace of Krishna. And there may be obstacles because although I sincerely may want to surrender, I'm already implicated in the material world, and there may be obstacles to overcome in the process. So there may be a process. There will be a process.
Yes.
Hare Krishna. Okay, Hale?
Yes, thank you.
What is prayer? According to the dictionary, it's a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God or an object of worship. And there are many different kinds of prayers. We have a list that we'll talk about in a couple of days when we're continuing in to explore the prayer and what it is. Even in general terms, people pray to ask things from the Lord, to submit themselves to worship or pray. And they come in the form of hymns, like, you know, beautiful songs, or even sometimes they're spontaneous, or sometimes they're incantations, so to speak. Incantation means something you say that affects change in your life. So prayer is something you can trace out in every culture. There are the whirling dervishes who pray through their dance. There are those who bow down in a scheduled measurement throughout the day and offer special kinds of prayers. In our tradition, there are many, many different kinds of prayers and ways to pray. But it's universal. It's natural because the soul is a servant of God, and there's a way in which we're in a helpless condition in the material world. Nityam nityanam chetanas chetananam ekubahunam yoviditati kaman. We are dependent. This is what the Shastra says. We're eternal souls, but there's one eternal soul who's maintaining all the others, who's the supreme controller. As Brahma noted, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sakchidananda Vigraha, Anadiradir Govinda, Sarvakarana Karanam. That Krishna is the supreme Ishvara, he's the controller. And I'm not. And as I move through my life, I'll realize in many different ways that I'm challenged by the force of time, by the forces of nature, and so forth. And there's an old saying that there are no atheists in foxholes, meaning that during the wartime, in the heat of battle, soldiers are taught to dig a hole that they can climb into to protect themselves from flying bullets and the onslaught of the enemy. And in that situation, people become resigned to the fact that they're at the mercy of the external environment, that at any second they could die. Normally, I think I'm okay. I have a full tank of gas, and I have a full bank account, and plenty of food in the refrigerator, and I think I'm okay. And the weather's good, so no problem. But as soon as there's an earthquake, as soon as there's a phone call that says you have to go to the oncology ward to have a biopsy, then immediately the prayer process starts, doesn't it? As soon as you get the phone call and they say, we want to take a biopsy, just the word itself, begin to think, uh-oh, I better pray. And that, it brings out a natural tendency in the living entity to take shelter of a higher authority. Krishna is benevolent, as he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Suridam Sarvabhutanam, that I'm the friend of all living entities. However, the material world is a place of forgetfulness. It's a place of ignorance, or otherwise called ignorance. It means I've turned my face away from God, and abhinibhishita syat, I become absorbed in the temporary manifestations of the three modes of material nature. So prayer is a natural and universal way of connecting to God. And in every culture, we'll find it in one way or another. And in the process of devotional service, we cultivate this very specifically as a means to stay connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many notable prayers, and we'll go into those in a couple of days. But factually, prayer changes our heart, and it changes the way we look at the world, and it reconnects us to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is Akura, who is famous in the Srimad Bhagavatam as having attained perfection in devotional service through the process of vandanam, or prayer. And I'm going to read you some of his prayers from the Srimad Bhagavatam because we want to hear what he said to pray to Krishna to become perfect simply by this process of praying. It seems so accessible, doesn't it, prayer? That anyone can do it anywhere, at any time. It can become spontaneous based on our need to reach out to God and simply call out to Him. And it can also be perfected through the process of following in the footsteps of those who are already perfected souls who are offering beautiful prayers to the Lord. And here's what Akura said when he was praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I bow down to you, the cause of all causes, the original and inexhaustible Supreme Person, Narayan. From the whorl of the lotus, born from your navel, Brahma appeared, and by his agency, this universe has come into being. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, and its source, false ego, the Mahatattva, the total material nature and her source, the Supreme Lord's Purusha expansion, the mind, the senses, the sense objects, and the senses presiding deities. All of these causes of the cosmic manifestation are born from your transcendental body. The total material nature and these other elements of creation certainly cannot know you as you are, for they are manifested in the realm of dull matter. Since you are beyond the modes of nature, even Lord Brahma, who is bound up in these modes, does not know your true identity. Pure yogis worship you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by conceiving of you in the threefold form comprising the living entities, the material elements that constitute the living entities' bodies, and the controlling deities of those elements. Brahmanas who follow the regulations concerning the three sacred fires worship you by chanting mantras from the three Vedas and performing elaborate fire sacrifices for the various demigods who have many forms and names. In pursuit of spiritual knowledge, some persons renounce all material activities and, having thus become peaceful, perform the sacrifice of philosophic investigation to worship you, the original form of all knowledge. And yet others, those whose intelligence is pure, follow the injunctions of Vaishnav scriptures promulgated by you. Absorbing their minds in thought of you, they worship you as the one Supreme Lord manifesting in multiple forms. There are still others who worship you, the Supreme Lord, in the form of Lord Shiva. They follow the path described by him and interpreted in various ways by many teachers. But all these people, my Lord, even those who have turned their attention away from you and are worshiping other deities, are actually worshiping you alone, O embodiment of all demigods. As rivers born from the mountains and filled by the rain flow from all sides into the sea, so do all these paths in the end reach you, O Master. Goodness, passion, and ignorance, the qualities of your material nature, entangle all conditioned living beings from Brahma down to the non-moving creatures. I offer my obeisances to you, who as the supreme soul of all beings witness everyone's consciousness with unbiased vision. The current of your material modes, produced by the force of ignorance, flows strongly among the living beings who assume identities as demigods, humans, and animals. I'm going to read that one again. I offer my obeisances to you, who as the supreme soul of all beings witness everyone's consciousness with unbiased vision. The current of your material modes, produced by the force of ignorance, flows strongly among the living beings who assume identities as demigods, humans, and animals. Fire is said to be your face, the earth your feet, the sun your eye, and the sky your navel. The directions are your sense of hearing, the chief demigods your arms, and the oceans your abdomen. Heaven is thought to be your head, and the wind your vital air and physical strength. The trees and plants are the hairs on your body, the clouds, the hair on your head, and the mountains, the bones and nails of you, the supreme. The passage of day and night is the blinking of your eyes. The passage of day and night is what? The progenitor of mankind, your genitals, and the rain, your semen. All the worlds with their presiding demigods are teeming populations, and teeming populations originate in you, the inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead. These worlds travel within you, the basis of the mind and senses, just as aquatics swim in the sea or tiny insects burrow within an undumbra fruit. To enjoy your pastimes, you manifest yourself in various forms in this material world, and these incarnations cleanse away all the unhappiness of those who joyfully chant your glories. I offer my obeisances to you, the cause of the creation, Lord Matsya, who swam about in the ocean of dissolution, to Lord Hayagriva, the killer of Madhu and Kaitaba, to the immense tortoise, Lord Kurma, who supported Mandara Mountain, and to the boar incarnation, Lord Varaha, who enjoyed lifting the earth. Obeisances to you, the amazing lion, Lord Nrsimha, who removed your saintly devotee's fear, and to the dwarf Vaman, who stepped over the three worlds. Obeisances to you, Lord of the Brigus, who cut down the forest of the conceited royal order, and to Ram, the best of the Raghu dynasty, who put an end to the demon Ravan. Obeisances to you, Lord of the Sattvatas, and to your forms of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. Obeisances to your form as the faultless Lord Buddha, who will bewilder the Daityas and Danavas, and to Lord Kalki, the annihilator of the meat-eaters posing as kings. O Supreme Lord, the living entities in this world are bewildered by your illusory energy. Becoming involved in the false concepts of I and my, they are forced to wander along the paths of fruitive work. I too am deluded in this way, O Almighty Lord, foolishly thinking my body, children, home, wife, money, and followers to be real, though they are actually as unreal as a dream. Thus mistaking the temporary for the eternal, my body for myself, and sources of misery for sources of happiness, I have tried to take pleasure in material dualities. Covered in this way by ignorance, I could not recognize you as the real object of my love. Just as a fool overlooks a body of water covered by the vegetation growing in it and chases a mirage, I have turned away from you. My intelligence is so crippled that I cannot find the strength to curb my mind, which is disturbed by material desires and activities and constantly dragged here and there by my obstinate senses. Being thus fallen, I am approaching your feet for shelter, O Lord, because although the impure can never attain your feet, I think it is nevertheless possible by your mercy. Only when one's material life has ceased, O lotus-navelled Lord, can one develop consciousness of you by serving your pure devotees. Obeisances to the Supreme Absolute Truth, the possessor of unlimited energies. He is the embodiment of pure transcendental knowledge, the source of all kinds of awareness, and the predominator of the forces of nature that rule over the living being. O son of Vasudev, obeisances to you, within whom all living beings reside. O Lord of the mind and senses, again I offer you my obeisances. O Master, please protect me, who am surrendered unto you. What parts did you like? And what did you notice? And what's the number that devotees can text in on? Just write it down and give me a chit. Yes.
Prabhuji, the prayer is very hard for many people like me. So when we see prayers, Gajendra prayed in the desperate condition, Draupadi prayed, and Bharat prayed, Prahlad prayed, and Dhruv Maharaj prayed when they were in desperate conditions. So in order to get Krishna's attention, do we need to be in that condition? Then only do we get Krishna's attention, or can we pray the way we are and we get Krishna's attention? My question is, do we need to have any qualification or time, place, circumstances in order to get Krishna's attention?
Prahlad Maharaj considered what is the qualification to offer prayer. After the demigods had offered prayers to Lord Nrsingadev, perfect Sanskrit, and they're in the mode of goodness, and they failed to satisfy Krishna. So they pushed Prahlad forward, and they said, you try. And Prahlad stepped forward, and then he said, I'm a demon. My father's a demon, so I have this demon blood in me, and I also don't know Sanskrit. I'm also just a little boy. What can I say? And then he remembered Gajendra. And he said, Gajendra was an elephant. What was his qualification? He said, Gajendra was sincere. And he satisfied the Lord by his prayers. Bhaktya tutosha, Bhagavan gajayutapaya. Because he had bhakti, there was some feeling of bhakti in him that he satisfied the Lord. Therefore, Prahlad says, if someone's sincere and simply offers prayers to the Lord will accept it. And then therefore he encourages everyone. Everyone should offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's not necessary that one is in some calamitous situation in order to pray. The devotee is constantly praying to Krishna when he or she is aware of the fact that Krishna is Suridam Sarvabhutanam. There are different reasons to pray. Out of gratitude, devotees pray to the Lord. And there are ways that devotees pray and ask something from the Lord, like, please remove the obstacles on my path so that I can reach you. Please let there be no material desire within my heart. And of course, Queen Kunti said that I pray best when there is some calamity. Therefore, let calamities come. Because this definitely stimulates this feeling of praying sincerely. You have nowhere else to turn. But we should cultivate this constantly and think that I'm in a helpless situation and I have no one else to protect me but Krishna. And, of course, when we say, we're offering a prayer. We're calling for the help of the Lord. We're honoring the fact that he's so kind that he's giving us prasad. There's gratitude, and there's also supplication. Please help me. So prayers come in many different forms. It's actually the nature of the soul to pray to Krishna. It's our way of communicating with him in a way that we can express our heart and bring it out to him in prayer. It's very satisfying. So no, it's not necessary to be in a calamity. We should cultivate all different forms of prayer. And we can even ask the Lord for help. In one of his books, Prabhupada says that you can in a humble way come before the Lord and say that I'm being tossed by the material ocean in this way and that, and reveal your mind to him and saying, this is what's going on for me in this material ocean. And of course he knows that. But there's a way in which when we put that before him, we remember that he's our well-wisher and he's there within our heart. And there is a reciprocation. That's why the devotees go on with the process of prayer, because they feel their prayers answered from within their heart and they see how Krishna is arranging their lives. If you're watching online, you can text in your questions or comments at 408-203-2223. That's 408-203-2223. Operators are standing by to take your texts. I like this prayer where Akura says, just as a fool overlooks a body of water covered by the vegetation growing in it and chases a mirage, so I have turned away from you. Earlier in his prayers too, he's recognizing the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the one who's creating the whole material world. And he names his different famous avatars in the world and glorifies each one of them. And then he's also asking that you please help me fix my mind on you and not be faked out by this mirage of the material world. So there are various moods throughout his whole prayer. And you can see that there are ways of offering prayers. Yes. You have to use the microphone because it's a live broadcast.
Being thus fallen, I'm approaching your feet for shelter, O Lord, because although the impure can never attain your feet, I think it is nevertheless possible by your mercy. This gives us more hope that whatever position we are in, we can still take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet.
That's nice. Yeah. There's a prayer that's given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhavate Bhavate Krishna Spuraye Antare. Krishna Kripaya Agnapai Rashu Shindupare. And that is that even though the ocean of love for God may be seem very far away, if one goes on thinking about Krishna and connecting to him through the process of bhakti, bhavite bhavite, Krishna spure antare, remembering, bringing him into your mind, said one can eventually reach the shore of that ocean of love for Krishna. Encouraging words that no matter what situation you're in now, if you go on praying, asking for the Lord's guidance, he'll assist. It also helps to clarify our own desires. When we speak our prayers to the Lord and we hear what we're asking for, we can understand more clearly what our position is and what's actually in our heart. Sudeep.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. The entire prayers, all these are really wonderful, but the one that stuck in my mind were 10:40:24 and 10:40:27. 40:24 is, I too am deluded in this way, O Almighty Lord, foolishly thinking that my body, children, home, wife, money, and followers to be real, though they are actually as unreal as a dream. And the 27 is, my intelligence is so crippled that I cannot find the strength to curb my mind, which is disturbed by material desires and activities and constantly dragged here and there by my obstinate senses. Couple of points, what I found were that first of all, Akrura was saying these prayers on our behalf, as in whatever it's, as if it just felt like, yes, this is going on in quite a few of our minds. And the second thing was, it's Krishna already knows this, and as you said, it was a revealing one's heart, admitting that, yes, I give up. I give up, and I surrender unto you. So this is a very sincere prayer and a sincere attempt at saying that, okay, I get it now. It's beyond me. I give up. Please take over. Please help me.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Nice.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So there are so many great devotees, as we read in Srimad Bhagavatam, who have offered wonderful prayers to the Lord. I'm wondering why Akrura is glorified for perfecting his life through prayers.
We'll have to look into that a little more. I don't know if there's something in the commentary specifically about why his prayers are like that. But through the next 3 days, we'll investigate that. Gandharvika has some insight.
No, Prabhuji, I don't have that into what
Maataji is asking. Okay, make a note of that. We'll research it.
I just thought, adding to what Rasika Mataji said, the later part of the verse 28, which says, only when one's material life has ceased, O Lotus Naval Lord, one can develop consciousness of you by serving your pure devotees. So he's offering prayers to the Lord, but he says that the means is by serving the pure devotees, which is the main point.
And that's common in Prahlad's prayers to Lord Nrsingadev. Over and over again, he's saying, let me be the servant of your servant. And how could I ever leave the service of my spiritual master? He's the one who revealed you to me. So he's supplicating himself to the Lord, but he's not saying, I'm directly your servant. He's saying, I'm the servant of your servant, and so forth. So, yeah, hearing the mood of the devotees and how they offer prayers, the mood in which, is very helpful in perfecting the process of offering our prayers. Yes. Shri Krishna Purushottam Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. When out of frustration, if you pray, even Krishna will accept that also. Like, for example, one time I was in San Jose book distribution, Prabhu. Whereas I north part apartments, 25 apartments we knocked, nobody opened the door because it's a long weekend. Out of frustration, one apartment door in front, I shouted, Jai Prabhupada. For some reason, that door inside, a person is there, and he said, what's going on? And he came out. So from there, door onwards, there are a lot of people are in, you know, like I was thinking, out of frustration, if you pray, like Prabhupada or Guru will listen.
So let's all try. Jai Prabhupada! That's a good technique. So we read earlier from Prahlad Maharaj that Krishna is the desire tree. He doesn't consider the lower or the higher, but he fulfills one's desire according to how one approaches him. In the Bhagavad Gita, we know Krishna says, Ye yata mam prapadyante tam stitaiva bhajamyaham. Mama vart maruvartante manushya parta sarvashaha. Means that everyone is taking their sustenance from Krishna. And according to how they approach him and how they surrender to him, he rewards accordingly. And therefore, what we have and what situation we're in the material or spiritual worlds, has everything to do with our relationship with Krishna, the way we're approaching him, the attitude we're in, and what we're asking for, because he fulfills the desires of everyone according to, of course, what they deserve also. So it's important to clarify our desires and what we're asking for from the Lord, because if we ask for something that is harmful and then Krishna fulfills our desire, then we have no one to blame except ourselves. The karma marg, in fact, is the path of asking for things or for adjusting my situation in the material world, which is basically asking the Lord to give me more misery. And then there's the gyan marg, which is basically saying that I'll worship you for some time. Please remove all my miseries, and after that, I won't do anything for you. These are motivated by personal desire, but the devotee has a sense of gratitude and dedication to Krishna, and therefore the prayers of the devotee are very much different in quality, and what the devotee asks for, we'll notice in the prayers of pure devotees, is, please let me serve you. Let there be no material desires within the core of my heart. Let me simply be your eternal servant, and so forth. Rasika Shiromani.
I wanted to check with you if my understanding is right. So, even, say for example, like we pray
Nilesh,
for...
I can't hear her. I don't know if that microphone's on.
It's on, right? Maybe I'll keep it closer.
Okay, keep it closer.
Say for example, if I pray for good health, I'm praying for good health so that I can be in a stable state to do my services. Is it okay to pray like that as long as our consciousness is right?
Yeah, it is understandable. In the nectar devotion, the summary of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami gives the definition of Uttama Bhakti when he says, Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmanyanavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttama. So the topmost devotional service is that which is free from all material desires, including... Oops, that's way too high. Hare Krishna. Including jnana and karma, as I just mentioned, are ways in which we avoid our eternal relationship with Krishna. And this shunyam means I'm free from all material desires. Doesn't include when one is in an emergency situation and asks the Lord for some kind of protection. For instance, Gajendra was in a situation in which he was fighting for his life, and he asked, my Lord, I know your pure devotees don't ask you for anything, but I have a crocodile on my leg and I would really appreciate a little assistance at this point. And Rupa Goswami explains that it doesn't rule out the asking of some protection in the normal course of life, because the devotee's life is already dedicated to serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, those particular kinds of requests are made in an emergency, and the devotee's life is already dedicated in that way to serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it's not outside the realm of pure devotional service, according to the Acharyas.
Hare Krishna. These prayers are chanted so perfectly. I wonder we'll ever reach a stage where we can pray like this. So that's my first experience, like after reading this chapter, especially after hearing. And second thing, I had one question, but before that, this also reveals a devotee's precise knowledge about different aspects of Krishna. So it's so precise, the way he's explaining. And of course, Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, when I heard the Bhagavatam from him 12 years ago, the first verse he read, the translation, he said, Prabhupada's translation is so perfect. So one, Bhagavatam is perfect, then Prabhupada's translations are so perfect. And especially the verse which I liked here was, obeisances to your form as faultless Lord Buddha, who will bewilder. So he's revealing a knowledge of the future. The Daityas and Danavas, and to Lord Kalki, the annihilator of meat eaters posing as kings. So it is really, amazing how devotees, if you know Krishna, you know everything. So this is revealed in these prayers, the preciseness and the... But I had one question, being living in a temple and having lived in a temple for many years, previously as a brahmachari, now as a grihastha. A funny incident that happened was when I was in ISKCON Mangalore, South India. It was a coastal town. And a big part of our congregation was the local people who were fishermen. And they used to participate in all our yatras. They used to chant, but they were fishermen. So we used to, at least they stopped eating fish. That was the best part. But they could not give up their trade. But what happened was, one year, there was a big problem with lack of fish. So they came to our temple president, they had a meeting, and they said, you should pray to Jagannath, that was her deity, for fish. So we were in a dilemma, whether to pray to the Lord to get more fish for them or not. It was a funny thing. They were a big part of our congregation. And now, being in New Vrindavan, and also with a lot of devotees coming there, you meet so many people, and you make contacts, you preach, and all that. And basically you find people coming and praying for their, you know, please pray for our child, pray for our this, so this and that. So, like the first incident about the fish, and in general, we devotees, when we want to introduce somebody to Krishna consciousness, or they come to our temple, they definitely ask us to pray. You know, this topic has come up. So, if you could throw some light on how our approach should be, although I may be having some understanding, but if you can explain, that'll be, you know, this is a little tricky, so if you can help.
Jutananda Swami, many years ago, was standing outside of the Tirupati temple waiting to get in, and he heard a conversation going on amongst some college students, and they were saying how they wanted to pray to the Lord to get a good job. And he heard this conversation going on, that that's what they were going to ask. And so he sort of jumped in the conversation and said, so, you know, what kind of job do you want? And they said, well, I want to make at least $50,000 a year. And he said, you're going to approach the Lord of Vaikuntha and ask him for $50,000 a year? And they looked at each other, thought about it for a few minutes, and he goes, okay, $100,000. And Prabhupada tells the story of the woman carrying sticks for a living, keeping them on her head, and then one day falls, drops the sticks, and piteously cries out in prayer, please help me, Lord. And he appears, says, how can I help you? Please tell me. And she says, please put the sticks on my head again. Prabhupada also tells about the boatman who's making a living. Sometimes he has to pull the boat upstream. You've seen this in Mayapur. Sometimes they to go from one location to another, they have to put a rope and pull upstream. So then he's praying and he's thinking, if the Lord fulfills my desire, I'm going to ask that the whole bank of the river is covered with pillows so that when I walk up, my feet won't be pricked by any of the stones. And this is due to a lack of perspective of our constitutional position as teachers of devotional service. Our real duty is not to simply offer people benedictions or ask them to ask for benedictions from the Lord or facilitate these kinds of material desires, but to educate people, sambandha gyan, about what your real interest in life is. A doctor makes sure that all the disease of a patient is gone. And this was something mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita when Sanatana Goswami had given up everything and gone to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu had asked Chandrasekhar to make sure that he got cleaned up. He had shaved off his beard and he put on Vaishnav dress, but he was still keeping this expensive blanket that had been given to him by his brother-in-law along the way. And Mahaprabhu simply glanced at him askance, and Sanatan understood that this is not very much appreciated by the Lord, that I'm keeping this expensive blanket. So he went to the river where people were washing their clothes, and there was a Bengali mendicant who had an old torn quilt that was drying in the sun, and Sanatan came and said, I'll trade you. And the man thought he was sort of belittling him, saying, you know, you don't have much, I have something nice, to teasing him. But when he found out he wasn't, he agreed to the trade, and Sanatan came back with this torn quilt instead of the expensive blanket. And Mahaprabhu then said that when a physician treats a disease, he makes sure that it's gone completely. Why should he let it stay even a little bit? Because it can come back at any time. So it's not our business to pray for people to become more entangled in the material world or to support them in some kind of activity that will bring them more suffering or karma. But it is our duty to point out to them how they're implicating themselves more by asking for the wrong things, because Krishna is a desire tree. Why should they ask for that? Yes, Himanshu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. I'll try my best to articulate the question. I've always faced this dilemma while praying, and this is following up on Rasika Shiromani Mataji's question. So we read in the Bhagavatam the consciousness of the exalted devotees. I mean, they are aware of their eternal constitutional position. But as a conditioned soul as I am, the modes of material nature may be so strong that in the disguise of thinking that I am in the right consciousness while praying that, okay, Krishna, give me this job so that I can earn this much to give it to the temple. But because of the conditionings, that may not be right at all. I may get completely entangled. So is it right to pray like that, or just to pray that, you know, Krishna, whatever your will, let be done? So I just wanted to ask, because I always face this dilemma. I may not be knowing whether this is appropriate.
We're safer to follow in the footsteps of the great souls who have already offered prayers and to emulate their prayers, in fact, to repeat them and the mood of their prayers. And there's a certain etiquette to offering prayers. First of all, we shouldn't ask for anything material unless it's directly to facilitate our serving Krishna, or the servants of the servant, serving the servants of Krishna, and so forth. And it is a better mood to ask Krishna, you know what I need, please organize freely. Organize my life whatever way you like. That's a sign of surrender. Instead of saying that I want this and this and this, better to put it to Krishna that you know better than I. Please do as you wish in order that I can make advancement in devotional service. When Prahlad Maharaj was pressed by Lord Nrsingadev to take some benediction and refusing several times, saying, I'm not a merchant, I don't want anything, finally he said, if I pray for any benediction, let it be that there will be no material desire within the core of my heart. We're safer going in that way. Better to do that.
I have a few text messages.
A text just came in, yes.
Actually, it came in earlier from Shyamalangi Mataji. Hare Krishna, I find this powerful. The Supreme Soul witnesses everyone's consciousness with unbiased vision. That's from Shyamalangi Mataji. And the next one is from Sundari Leela Mataji. What to do if we have difficulty praying?
If we have difficulty praying, what should we do?
Mm-hmm.
Practice. We should practice praying. It's very satisfying. Find a prayer from the Shastra that is appealing to you, that means something to you, and then practice praying. There's a prayer I like very much from the Sri Upanishad, the 18th verse. It was the first prayer I ever discovered, because I got Prabhupada's books, and I came to that prayer at the end, where he says that, O my Lord, as powerful as fire, omnipotent one, now I have fallen to the ground at your feet, offering you all obeisances. Please lead me on the right path to reach you. And since you know all I've done in the past, please free me from all the reactions to my past sins so there'll be no hindrance to my progress. When I first heard that prayer, I thought, that's helpful. He knows what all the previous sins are, and he can remove the obstacles from, and he's omnipotent also, which is a very important point. Krishna can do anything at any time. He also knows what's in my heart. Interesting that Kardama Muni, after he meditated for 10,000 years and performed his bhakti, and the Lord appeared personally on Garuda, he offered some beautiful prayers, and then he said, "And really, what I want is a wife." And Narayan said, "I know that." It really struck me how, even though Kardama asked, he was a little bit embarrassed. He said, "I know that I shouldn't ask for such things, but that's, I have this desire, so I need a wife." And the Lord said, "I already know, and it's arranged. She'll be here in 2 days."
Next is Neetu. Hare Krishna Prabhu, what is the significance of rituals and prayers? Most of my deepest prayers are while I am not in front of the deities or temple. Is it ritual or just the connection with the Lord at the time of prayers?
Yeah, we have to be careful when we're offering prayers that they don't become rote. In other words, I can offer all kinds of prayers without thinking about them. And these are not so powerful. The word upasana, think about it. What is upasana? We call it worship. Prayer is a part of upasana. Upasana means, asana means to sit, right? And up means close, upa means closer. In what sense are we sitting closer? In the sense that we're really absorbed. Any form, any kind of advancement we get in spiritual life comes from absorption. That means upasana. It means you have to take time. This is in the ritual of offering prayers in many different traditions. There's times of the day when you stop and you offer your prayers. For instance, we have during the we have the Sandhya Vandanas, these different junctures during the day when everything's in transformation. Omkar was saying something to me about this the other day, about how when everything's, these junctures during the day, transformation means you don't know what's going to happen next, basically. Transformation's a time when everything's moving and you're really not sure where you're going to land. So those are times when you really want to pray hard. Let me stay fixed at this time. And there are times during the day in which we should pray. There are times during the week we should pray. There's a times during the month and during the year and during our lifetime that we should take time out. This means upasana. Upasana means to sit. Sit down somewhere and turn off everything else, your mind and all your other desires and aspirations. Don't hook into the story. Your mind always has a story going on. Don't hook into it now. Hook into the prayer. It's meant to take us to the Lord. And this is upasana. This is what real worship means. To sit down and come closer to Krishna. You can do it. That's your nature. You can come closer to the Lord. And that's what prayer means, to come close. Upasana. Sit down, turn off the story, don't hook into it. And now tune in, hook on to the prayer. And that's what seems to be ritual, when devotees stop and they'll do their prayer during certain times of the day. The Muslims, they pray, they'll stop wherever they are and bow to Mecca. There are Jewish prayers. Christians perform prayers on Sundays and other times. And any of these can become ritualized in the sense that we forget about them. I don't think ritual necessarily means that it's niyamagraha, that we're doing it just for the sake of doing it. But there is a way that prayers can become niyamagraha. It means that we're just doing it, but we're not sure why. We forget the purpose behind it. So the feeling has to be there for it to be very powerful. And even if the prayer is not technically correct, if the attitude is correct in offering the prayer, just like Gajendra, he didn't know what he was saying, really. But his attitude was correct. He was really praying from his heart. He didn't know who God was. So you may not know, you may not have a clear consciousness that, as Akura Godhead, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what are all incarnations and so forth. But if you have a sincere desire and your attitude is aligned properly, that is, it's sincere, your sincerity comes out in your prayer, Krishna will answer. That's what Prahlad Maharaj said. So to avoid this niyamagraha, one must become very much in tune to the sincerity of one's own heart. This goes for our chanting of Hare Krishna, which is a continuous prayer. Oh my Lord, please engage me in your service. Oh my Lord, oh energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. And if we hear our own sincerity as we're chanting, we can actually be carried away by that prayer. There's another one on text?
There's four more.
Four more. Okay, let's take one from a live classroom and we'll come right back to the text. Text, you can keep texting in. We'll take them all. Your call-in number is 408-203-2223. Our operators are standing by to take your calls.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, whenever I hear the pastimes of the Lord, you know, there are instances when the Supreme Lord is asking his devotee in a pleading fashion, please ask something, you know, like Kolavachi Sridhar or gopis, you know, just ask something for what you've done for me. And they say, no, I don't want to ask anything. And, you know, that's glorified to the mood of the devotee many a times. So, kind of a question that comes to your mind is, what does God like? You know, what does Krishna like? Does he like his devotees asking or not asking?
It depends how they ask. I mean, sometimes in his dealings with his friends and so forth, they don't even ask, they'll just say, give me that. And, you know, and because it's out of affection, out of love, then Krishna accepts it. It's the affection that Krishna takes from the devotee when he's asking or not asking. And if it's out of that sense of love, then that rasa is there. And that's what Krishna says. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati taraham bhakti paritam ashnami pariyatmanaha. That if you offer me something with love, with bhakti, then I'll accept it. He's taking the bhakti. And on the other side, when devotees don't ask anything, Krishna becomes overwhelmed even more. That they're simply serving out of a sense of love for him, and they don't want anything in return. And that becomes, that's readily apparent, actually. When somebody does something for you out of love, then it's an overwhelming experience. Love is overwhelming. Because what can you do? What can you give in return? There's no thing you can actually give somebody who's giving you their heart, who's really giving you their love. There's no thing you can give back. And Krishna mentions that his devotees, although he says in the Bhagavad Gita, he has this eternal statement, yea, yata mam prapadyante, tamstataiva bhajamyaham. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. He said, but now that's been voided by the gopis' method of worshiping me because they've, I have nothing I can give them. Their love is so selfless and pure that now I can't reciprocate. I can't give them anything in return. He says, you'll have to be satisfied with your own devotion to me, be satisfied with that. So this is the kind of competition that goes on, as mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, between the devotees and Krishna. Krishna's always trying to give to the devotees, and the devotees are always trying to give to Krishna. And back and forth the competition goes. This is the eternal rasa between Krishna and his devotees. But the devotees are very careful. They don't want to take anything. When Madhavendra Puri was sitting in the village of Vrindavan, and Krishna brought him some milk. He told him that nobody fasts in our town. But Madhavendra Puri wouldn't ask anything from anybody. And there are instances, stories about Rupan Sanatan and how, you know, Sanatan was given some ingredients for cooking, and then later on, they discovered that it was actually Radharani that brought them, and they became very distraught that they had taken any service from Radharani. So devotees are there. airtight when it comes to accepting anything in the way of tit for tat. There's no quid pro quo when it comes to taking from Krishna. Devotees want to only expand their love and their giving for him. So that's it's a conundrum, actually, for Krishna. It's a conundrum. Okay, there's a few more texts.
Yes, Prabhu, five more, actually. This is the one that Hansapriya Mataji asked earlier. Is it okay to find one prayer sweeter than others?
Definitely. There are varieties of prayers, and they appeal to certain kinds of devotees in certain moods. We'll talk about the different kinds of prayers in different moods. Devotional service is unlimited, and there are various times of the day in which Krishna performs his pastimes. There are different methods of pleasing Krishna through the kind of music that one plays while one sings prayers to the Lord. So that sometimes it's melancholy. When Krishna's in a melancholy mood because of his relationship with his devotees, and you play some cheery tune, it's not so nice. And if Krishna's in a cheery tune and you play some melancholy raga, it's not so nice. So we read in the Brahma Sanghita that all the arts for devotional service have to do with pleasing Krishna in different cultural ways. And offering prayers is a very sensitive kind of a feeling offering to Krishna. So yeah, there are different moods and different prayers. The prayers of Rishabhadev are very heavy. You know, don't be a pig. And perform austerities, divine austerities. And then there are Kunti's prayers, which are, you know, offered from the feminine heart. And they're a little bit lighter and, you know, from her relationship with Krishna. So yes, the spiritual world has all these different varieties. And we may appreciate one more than the other. Yes.
Next is from Bhaktin Kara in Tennessee.
Kara.
Kara, yes. I have a kind of technical question. I often write my prayers to the Lord. Is this okay, or should I always speak my prayers?
Writing prayers is good. In fact, we're going to do it tonight. We have Vishakha Leela has a sheet that she's going to pass out, and we can all practice doing that. It's a very good idea to write your prayers down. In fact, I know one devotee for many years, I'm not sure if he still does it, but every day before he would chant his japa, he would always write a little prayer, and then he would put it on the altar, and then as he was chanting, he would think of that prayer. He would basically form his sankalpa. How am I approaching the Lord through his holy name? So it's a good idea.
Thank you, Prabhu. Next is from Sheila, Singapore. Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Bol Sheila.
Is there any difference in potency in chanting the Sanskrit verses of prayers or just chanting only the translation as given by Srila Prabhupada? Please throw some light on this.
Well, again, there's variety, but there is everything in the world has some kind of potency. Every object and every sound vibration has some kind of potency. And when you're dealing with the internal energy, there are different varieties of potencies. It all depends really on the mood in which you're saying something, how you're offering the prayer. Prabhupada wrote a lot of his prayers in English, or some of them in Bengali. I mean, some are in Bengali. Of course, this Bengali language is very sweet, was spoken by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. And Sanskrit language is Devanagari and so forth. But not necessary if the mood is there. Even if one can't pronounce the Sanskrit properly, but is offering it in a mood of love and surrender to Krishna, then he accepts it. Again, it's the bhakti that's behind it. Having said that, it's very nice to be able to remember the Sanskrit, the original Sanskrit that it was spoken in, because that has a certain potency to it.
So next one is from our Malini Mataji.
From who?
Malini Mataji.
From Malini.
Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the class and nice questions. My question is that when we pray for our goals for books, what mood of prayer is that in? Is it considered following in the footsteps of acharyas? Is that considered selfish?
No. Please go ahead and pray like that. Prabhupada asked us to pray for him sometimes when he got sick. And he would say, my dear Lord, if you so desire, please, give health and cure our spiritual master. Thank you for considering our request. So asking to expand the Sankirtan movement, Prabhupada did this when he came into the Boston Harbor. He said, I want to expand the Sankirtan movement. This is the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My spiritual master asked me to do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Please show me the way. Please help me. Please enliven them, and so forth. So if you're praying like that, please let me expand the Sankirtan movement. Let me increase book distribution and so forth. These prayers are very nice. Very nice.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna Gurudev, Dhanamat Pranam, Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Bol Nikhil.
Hare Bol. Gurudev, you mentioned the mood to pray to Krishna is you know best. I surrender to you and you can arrange my life as you want. But sometimes in life we become very complacent and hence it becomes important to have some goals. Is it wrong to have goals and we work towards them? Because my dilemma is that are these goals mine or does Krishna want me to do them?
Well, we should have goals. Sankhya purva kanama gana nativi kalavasani krito. The Goswamis were very goal-oriented, in a sense, that they're counting all their sadhana. And there's a verse in Shastra that says, just as a miser counts and recounts his coins, you know, and nowadays always looking at their account to see if, you know, the Tao is going up or down or whatever. So similarly, the devotee should count and recount his prayers and his shlokas. How many do I have? How many am I offering? And so forth. And goal orientation. Prabhupada had this little book. It's still in his, it's kind of like one of these little things, about this size, sitting in his, that glass case inside his room now that he carried with him. And you can see he was writing little points on there about goals he was trying to achieve for expanding his movement. So you should be motivated like that to expand your service. The prayer I was talking about, the mood of the prayer is that a Krishna knows what's best for me. Therefore, don't try to direct your life, but leave it in the hands of Krishna. That's why I say, if you so desire. And also, it's an act of surrender to put your life in the hands of Krishna and say, you do whatever you wish in order, you know what I need, therefore please arrange in such a way that I can just come closer to you. But those two things aren't mutually exclusive. Now I'm going to move on. Become a master asker. But we should refine our asking to ask for pure devotional service. Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udarati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. This is Shukadev Goswami says, everyone's asking for something better if you ask Krishna. But even better than that, if you learn the science of devotional service and you ask for pure devotional service. Because this is what will fulfill the heart's desire of every living entity. Gratitude is a very powerful way to pray. Vishakha Leela inserted in some of the notes that she gave me about prayer one historical personality, not necessarily a Vaishnava in her line, but just a regular personality was talking about prayer, was saying that If one were simply to say thank you wholeheartedly to Krishna, this is a very nice prayer. In other words, expressing gratitude to Krishna for everything he's giving, this is a way of praying. And gratitude is a way to expand the heart and our capacity, as I've said before, for appreciating Krishna is expanded through exercising our appreciation by expressing gratitude, thanking Krishna for all he's given us. This idea of thanksgiving that people in America do at least officially once a year is very good, to thank Krishna for everything he's giving us, to realize that when you turn on the water, when you're getting light of the sun and all these kinds of things, it's coming from Krishna. And this is what Shukadeva Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj, that you should become aware of your environment and see that it's all being supplied to you in a very magnanimous way by a well-wisher. And if you're in this mood of thanking all the time for what you're getting, this is a very beautiful kind of prayer mode to be in. Sincere prayer, checking our heart to see what our motivations are, ulterior motives are detrimental to our progress. And opening our heart and offering sincere prayers gives us an opportunity to look and see what is the state of our heart. This is a mudra. Everyone try it. There are many different kinds of mudras, but this is the most important one. Krishna, please help me. Krishna, please let me be your devotee. This is a mudra of supplication. And practically it's become universal. You can see everywhere in the world. This is it's almost a sign of humility. Sometimes you even see people on a stage, when people are clapping for them, they'll do this, and so forth. This is the mood of surrender and offering prayer. But we can see from these different pictures that this is universal and universally satisfying. Brahma, in his prayers to Lord Krishna, gave a very good formula. Jnane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva. He said, give up the intellectual pursuit of trying to capture God. This is a way of dominating the material world on the subtle level. The disease of the living entity in the material world is to dominate, to want to control. And there's a way in which I do this through my intellect as well. I want to know everything so I can say that I know it and I have the answer and I can control it. But Lord Brahma, after overwhelmingly seeing Krishna, being overwhelmed by Krishna's power and mercy, said, I don't want to know anymore. In fact, I can't know. And anybody who says they know, fine, they can say whatever they want. But as far as I'm concerned, I give up that power of knowing who Krishna is. And I simply offer my prayers. There's a way in which through offering prayers, upasana, simply sit down and do your sadhana. Make your connection to Krishna through your prayers. Don't try to figure it out. Like, what is anadi karma? This conversation's always going on. What's the origin of the living entity? Around and around and around. It's an intellectual pursuit to try to nail it down so I can say, I got it. I'll write a book and then I've got it. I've figured it out. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Jiva Dharma, don't do this. This can be detrimental to your state of heart and your way of advancing. Prayer means I give up. I supplicate myself. Now I'm praying, Krishna, I don't know anything about you. I just know that you're all-powerful, you're all-merciful, and I want to offer myself to you. These prayers of surrender by Lord Brahma are very powerful. So there are prayers in various modes of material nature, obviously. Hiranyakashipu was praying and offering himself and giving, making so much disturbance for everybody else. And there are people who pray to, please let me rob that person's house. Prabhupada mentions that Krishna has a conundrum in this also, because one person's inside the house saying, please let nobody come in here and steal. And the other person's saying, show me the way in. Show me the way in, my Lord. How can I steal from these people? Then, of course, that there are people who are affected by the modes of material nature, lower modes, the mode of ignorance, who are thinking, let me figure out how to make a bomb so that I can kill lots and lots of people to make my political statement and so forth. So there can be prayers to God in the mode of ignorance. And in the mode of passion, this famous song in the late 1960s from Janis Joplin, who was one of the participants in the first mantra rock dance. She had a song, "Oh Lord, Won't You Buy Me a Color TV?" It was a sort of mocking the materialistic culture, because this was the counterculture saying that, you know, everyone's materialistic, you're just asking for things. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? She was saying all this kind of sarcastically. But, you know, people do pray, please give me this burden of material life. And then, of course, there are humanitarians, philanthropists who will pray for the good of other living beings and so forth. So we have ignorance, passion, goodness. And then there are transcendental prayers, which are offered out of love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let me be your devotee. Let me be surrendered unto you. Let my mind be drawn to you as the Ganges is forever drawn to the sea, without any hesitation or diversion to anyone else. This is the perfect kind of prayer. So we're going to pass out some sheets now and some pens. And take some time to meditate right now. Please close your eyes while she's passing these out.
I have one question that came in. Can I ask, Prabhu?
Okay.
Let
me mention this. She's going to pass these out. And take some minute, now that we've been talking about prayer, take a minute to meditate on your favorite deity. And as you're doing that, see what's in your heart and offer a sincere prayer in writing. Now's a chance for you to express yourself. You're an eternal living being connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, solemnify that by offering a beautiful prayer in writing, or a simple prayer, whatever you like. It'd be simple, long, short, eloquent, or any way that you can do that. Okay, a question.
This is Sam from Toronto.
Hi, Sam.
Hare Krishna. Is prayer always expressed through words, or is it also valid to express what is in our heart to Krishna without putting it into words, or maybe just with the Maha Mantra? Is it more pleasing to Krishna, or somehow better either way?
Either way, as long as it's done according to Prahlad Maharaj with sincere feeling. The Maha Mantra is a prayer, and we may express prayers mentally or without actually articulating them with our lips or our tongue or writing them down. Prayer is a very natural feeling, and it can come out as a supplication to the Lord that doesn't get externalized. That's possible also. May I have one also? I have a pen, though. I brought my own pen. Thank you. Take 5 minutes to yourself and write down a prayer to the Lord. And we suggest that you keep this prayer, and tomorrow when you're chanting your Maha Mantra, your Japa, you're doing your Upasana, sitting down in an asana to come closer to Krishna, that you can meditate on this prayer and offer it before you begin to chant. Hare Krishna. I know it'll be hard to stop, but about 10 more seconds. You don't actually have to stop. It feels so good to offer prayers, doesn't it, to write them down? But you can keep this in a book and start collecting them, these prayers, and articulate more prayers to the Lord. And I'd like to thank Vishakha Leela for putting this presentation together. She worked very hard and put together this PowerPoint within a very short amount of time. Also helped to do the research to make sure that this seminar got going, because we just decided on it a couple days ago, or maybe even yesterday, I can't remember. And we're going to continue over the next two sessions, that is Saturday and Sunday, with the same theme. We'll be investigating some of the great prayers of the Vaishnavas and looking into the various kinds of prayers, the nuance in prayers and the different moods that are offered by Vaishnavas and so forth. And we'll become very focused on this prayer. By the end of the week, we'll have covered a lot of the different areas that relate to this subject matter. So now, it's about 5 minutes till. Any last question? Any more texts coming? Yes. No microphone.
During our conversation, you said that Gajendra did not know who Lord was and he prayed. But without knowing, so this is for my understanding, how he prayed, Agila Karanaya, Adbhuta Karanaya, Niskaranaya, Namostute.
He had recited those prayers in his previous life, dutifully. And he remembered him in the next life, but he couldn't remember exactly who the Supreme was. He just had a sense, a feeling. And this is Krishna's mercy. Krishna's in the heart. Sarvasya chaham radisani vishto matak smritir jnanam apohanam cha. He is our impetus to actually say the prayer. When we have that feeling that we want to say a prayer, he gives us that impetus. So at first he couldn't understand. It was nondescript. And even the demigods were listening, saying, who's that for? Maybe us? No, that's not us. That's for Narayan. And then it became revealed to him. So at first, even Dhruva Maharaj couldn't offer prayers until the Lord touched him with his conch. And Prahlad Maharaj was blessed by Nisringadeva and so forth. So in order to offer prayers, we must also offer a prayer. Please let me offer a prayer. So let's put away the Shastra deities. Look, Pooja can't stop her prayers. She's going on and on. Let's put away all the books as quickly and as efficiently as possible, and then we're going to start the Artik, and we're going to have the best kind of prayer according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan, because when we're congregationally chanting, offering prayers together, we get synergy and the effects of the sincere hearts of all the Vaishnavas. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo. Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman. Hey, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.